Welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Podcast. Tonight is episode 178, Fantasy Preview for Week 25, which begins April 1st. April Fools, you're going to win this week.
I won't be winning this week, Bruce. I think you know that.
I won, and I got thoroughly thrashed by Shandell in the other one. I didn't even look today. It was that bad. She absolutely just decimated my team all. We'll talk about that team.
You know, shout out to Shandell because she's had a really strong season.
Bit of a rough start at the beginning of the season, but she...
She's committed. She's committed. Absolutely. So that's good. Good for her.
Great job.
Yep. I honestly, other than ESPN this week, I haven't even looked at anything else. I just was so like far out of contention with everything else. Of course, I just got thrashed this week too. I don't know. It was a really weird season, Bruce. I'll be honest. I felt like I drafted some good teams and some guys just didn't come out to perform. Some guys did. I don't know. I'd have to go back and just do a whole assessment on my rosters and go, what the hell happened this season? But
My forward heavy roster in ESPN is what's carried me this far because my defense and my goaltending has not been good.
Yeah. So
it's the forwards that have been carried it all. And I'm same thing. I did the zero G thing, but I still get stuck on freaking goaltenders. I hang on to them way too long.
Yeah.
I should have been tossing goaltenders out a couple of weeks ago already, but I didn't. So I'm stuck with them now because there isn't much else to pick up. So
No. And this week was rough, too. For the first week for our fantasy playoffs in ESPN, the schedule sucked.
Yeah, you had six games on light days for the entire week.
Yeah.
So Tuesday wasn't too bad, but Thursday and Saturday, you were picking players that had to stay on the bench.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. And I tried to maximize, you know, the matchups that I thought made sense and grab players that I thought were going to do better than others. And it just didn't work out. And then there was no chance to catch up. Like my opponent, whatever it is, Jim, I think was this week. And he had Tage Thompson on Friday and he had, what was it, 4 goals?
Something like that. Yeah. I
think I was down 20 to start Friday. And then Tage Thompson went off. He had Jesper Bratt on his roster. He had like 4 or 5 guys. And I think I had one or none. And it was just like, there's no opportunity to pick up any players in our league. Yeah. So for Friday, Sunday, I was kind of hooped, and Wednesday wasn't much better. And I just, I could never get back in the matchup. So that's okay. As they say, Bruce, you can't win them all. And I've won a lot in that league. So
I'm just trying to win one. One.
and I said after our draft, I said, you know what? I was able to draft Connor McDavid. So now I honestly didn't care so much what happened. Of course, you always want to win, but I just wanted one season with Connor and I got it. So hopefully he can catch up and wrap up another scoring title here. That'd be kind of nice.
That'd be very nice. So he halfway through he was the leader, and then by the end of the night he was back in third place, I think, again. So
yeah, that was funny. But of course I sent that tweet out because we were at the game on Saturday.
All right.
So that was my son Nathan. That was his first game, first NHL game, and he had an absolute blast. Yeah, he did. So big shout out to our man Tyler.
Absolutely.
Of course, we used his seats again, and it was good. We had a lot of fun. Good game. Like, I don't think you'd ask for a better first NHL game. They just absolutely spanked Anaheim. Connor scored a highlight reel goal, whatever it was, like 10 minutes into the first period.
Nice.
And they didn't really look back from there. They almost had the shutout, right? They were close. I think it was about 3 or 4 minutes left in the third period, and they got that one. But that one tip from Kalorn, I think. But anyway, Nathan loved it. He got a bunch of souvenirs and stuff from it, and excellent. He's pretty wiped now. So yeah, it was good.
He wants to go back now.
he actually said, I can't wait for my second game. And he was really excited. He said, these are really special seats, Dad. Said, yeah, they're pretty cool, buddy. So
yeah. So Dad, next week?
Won't be next week. No. It's like I tried to tell him too, you know, not every game's going to be like this. These are pretty good seats. So
yeah, exactly.
Set the bar a little high anyway.
Fantastic seats.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my seats on Friday are going to be equally, probably a little higher than those ones.
Yeah, because you're going to the Colorado game.
Going to the Colorado game, yeah.
Yeah.
We're leaving here bright and early Friday morning, I think like 8 a.m. or 9 a.m.
They
try to get into Edmonton, get to our hotel and get everything dumped off and then grab some lunch and then off to the arena.
They've got to win that game, Bruce.
They have to win it. It's
not even just for the standings, but just mentally, from a mental standpoint, the Edmonton Oilers have to beat the Colorado Avalanche so that they feel like, going into the playoffs, they can do it again. Yeah.
Oh, they did a number on LA the other night, so that was nice.
They did. I actually feel a lot better now. You know, it's just if we do end up matching up against LA in the first round, which I was talking to a friend last night about this, and they're only 4 points back of Vancouver right now with a game in hand. So really, in theory, it could be 2 points back, and there's, you know, 9 games yeah. left to play. They have
Vancouver barely survived Anaheim today.
Yeah, and they've got a tough matchup this week, the Oilers. Like, they've got four pretty tough games. Yeah. But they definitely could do it. And if they do, and if things sort of stay, all things being equal, they might get LA in the first round again.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be a little nervous if they managed to pull Vegas or however that works out. But I think as LA, it's gonna be like the old Oilers-Dallas series, except Edmonton's going to win this time.
Yeah, it's still, I think, in all probability, will be Vegas, right? I think they're playing a lot better than LA is right now. So chances are they kind of stick in that third spot. And I don't really see Edmonton falling out a second. I guess, you know, it still could happen with 9 games left. But
they'd have to fall off a cliff, which would, if they fall off a cliff, then it's, yeah. But they look much improved, especially versus LA and versus Anaheim. That's, you shouldn't lose to Anaheim 3-2. You should be, if you're that high up in there, you should be just decimating them. And they did that.
Yeah, that 6-1 win was what we all kind of expected, and it was packed in there.
Yeah.
It was a sold out game, and it was.
That was an afternoon game too, wasn't it?
2 o'clock start. Yeah, so that was why it was nice for Nathan, right? Being that he's six, good for him to be able to catch the whole game and not try to fall asleep. So
well, and the Oilers showed up for an afternoon game. Usually, the afternoon games are ones they usually have a tough time getting ready for.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it was kind of cool because they had the graphic on the Jumbotron when Connor took the lead in the NHL points. But yeah, it was not for very long, right? He's sitting at 125, and then McKinnon, I think, was at the top of the end of the night, right?
Yeah, at the end of the night, it was McKinnon, Kucherov, and then McDavid again. So yeah. It'll be nice watching him go back and forth here for the next couple of weeks.
But he doesn't care. You know, like, that's kind of the cool thing is he had another interview, and they're asking about the Art Ross race, and he goes, like, honestly, we're worried about bigger trophies. Like, I don't care. Yeah. He's been there, done that. We've talked about that lots this year, so.
As somebody posted on X, on November 18th, Connor was 108th in league scoring.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then when he posted that, Connor was number one in league scoring. Like, and then that big holy crap face, right? Like, that's what he can do.
That's a big turnaround.
You look at Kucherov, McKinnon had basically head starts on him, and he caught them.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, it's incredible.
I should go look and see what his point pace was from November 8th on. I'm very curious.
From November 8th on?
Yeah, I'd have to take a look at that. But oh, yeah.
Well, you do that. I'll introduce John's list.
Okay.
Even though John didn't have anything to do with the list tonight.
So, John, you're on the list again too, buddy.
All right. Well, we'll move on to John's list. Cheryl Devin's looking that up. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, you'll undoubtedly be familiar with John's list. It's John's shit list of players, past and present. We throw in the occasional commissioner, GM, coach, newsworthy topic from around the hockey world. Tonight, we have two goaltenders that if you were streaming them, you probably threw your TV brick at the TV while these two guys. So Joel Hofer and Samuel Erison. I know all about Erison. I have him in one league, so. Joel Hofer and the Blues got shut out to the lowly, oh my God, they lost to the Sharks 4-0.
Yeah.
I knew they lost. I didn't realize they got shut out. Holy crap. Well, Erison gave up 5 goals on 24 shots to the Blackhawks. Yeah, I saw that. That was a dash 1.8 on my fantasy line for that night. I can tell you firsthand, there are many fantasy managers out there who are very disappointed. Yeah, well, I haven't dropped Erison yet, but it's coming. Although they do have a decent schedule this week, so we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I don't think Erson's a guy you're going to be dropping at this point, unless there's a really nice replacement option out there. But
yeah, it has to be a pretty nice matchup.
Yeah, Hofer was purely a stream for me yesterday, but that's kind of how my week went, Bruce. It was like, that's a juicy matchup, right? St. Louis against San Jose, Seattle's still in the playoff race. Hofer's been pretty steady this season. I thought that should have been a slam dunk. And
especially St. Louis being in a fighting for a playoff spot.
That's what I mean.
Playing
the
Sharks, you would think they should be able to come out and do better than 4-0
and not lay an absolute egg. Yeah. So that's kind of how my week went, Bruce. It was like everything that should have happened, just like the exact opposite happened. So that's, you know, fantasy is a fickle beast. But Just quickly going back to Connor McDavid quickly.
Yeah.
So since November 8th, he's got 115 points in 61 games. That is 154-point pace and a 36-goal pace over 82 games.
Nice.
So, yeah, he's had quite the turnaround. And I didn't look at what it was, you know, start of season of, to November 8th, but they're really not much, right? If you look, he's got 127 points right now or 125?
125, I believe.
Yeah, so I just whatever. Like, the majority of his points, is it's all come after that slow start. So, yeah, really interesting.
You look how far the Oilers as a whole have come since that time.
Yeah.
They were like third last at one point in time.
Yeah.
And now they're third in the Pacific?
Second
in the Pacific.
Yeah. I think I'll go check the standings here again quick, but I do believe, yeah, they were sitting in second. Because I just said they were, last I looked. Yeah. They're just behind Vancouver.
Hofer and Ersson bad. McDavid good.
That's our long-winded way of saying that, Bruce, for sure.
Want to take a wild guess at who the fantasy lock of the week is?
Give you one guess.
You might know him. We've mentioned him, I think, just about every week since the middle of November. Yep. It's Connor McDavid once again. He has... Oh, that was... I brought up the wrong report. 1 second. Where is... That's the 2 week report. I want the 1 week report. All right. There we go. All right. Connor McDavid. So 8 points in 3 games, 3 goals, 5 assists. See, he is shooting. He's not just going for assists, although he isn't that far away from 100 assists. He's what, 6 off now?
Four. He's 9, 4 back.
4 off?
Yeah. So I'd say at this point, Bruce, that's pretty much a lock. That's going to happen.
I would think so, right? I would think him getting 100 assists in a season, the season shouldn't be a problem. He has got 1 game-winning goal, 3 power play points. His time on ice is just under 19 minutes and 19:20. He's got a 73% power play share, which translates to just under 3 minutes on average of power play time a night, which is... very, very nice. And he's going to win the scoring title. It's just a formality at this point, I think. He's going to light their league up. And
I want to believe he will. But you know what? Kucherov and McKinnon are both playing some really good hockey right now. And it's going to be tight. It's actually a really interesting season, not just for the Art Ross, but I think for almost every award category this season. There's lots of options, it seems, for everybody. So...
I just think he's going to want to put a stamp on things there at the end of the season to let everybody know he's playoff ready. So I think that's...
Just put an exclamation point on it, yeah.
Put a bit of a... Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Honorable mention this week, we'll go to... see here, Mr. Arturi Panarin, who also put up 8 points. He had a goal and 7 assists. He's basically averaging about the same amount of ice time as Connor. Not quite as much in terms of power play share. About a fraction of the power play time on ice, about half. But he had himself a good week too.
Yeah, he's having a good season.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about one of his line mates here a little bit later.
We will.
All right. Let us move on to Edgework. Segment where we put in the work to give you the edge in your fantasy hockey league. Each week, the Hacks will cover the schedule, the waiver wire targets, and guide you to victory. I'm going to need it this week. Things you need to know. We are week 25. We are deep into the fantasy playoffs. Congrats to everyone that's made it this far. This week, we have a total of 56 games on the schedule. Still 3 full days, but the 1 full day has shifted from Tuesday to Sunday just because the NHL schedule makers love doing that to us. And then we've got 4 light days. Light days are where 50% or fewer teams are in action. All right, so Aaron, in terms of attempting to optimize the schedule for games played this week, we've got 17 teams play 4 games this week. Edmonton and the Rangers play 3 of their 4 games on light nights. Seattle plays all 3 of their games on light nights this week, this coming week. 16 teams play 2 games on light days. Can I say light nights before?
Maybe you did. We'll go with light days. That's fine.
Light days. And there are 11 sets of back-to-backs. So there will be some backups in play this week for everyone looking to stream. Vegas is the only team this week to fade, as they are the only team in the league that play two games. So just to do a quick recap, 8 games on Monday. Tuesday, there's 8 games. Wednesday, there's 5. Thursday, there's 9. Friday, 6. Saturday, 11. And Sunday, 9. So lots of players in action every night. So no excuse to be here. Thank God there's no more of those one-game nights.
It was a brutal start to our fantasy playoff, Bruce. It was awful. Yeah.
That was, what do they call that? In fantasy football, they have, what are the guillotine leagues where they drop the team off? The bottom team drops off every week.
Yep.
And then his players go into the waiver wire, and everyone fights over them, and then it just continues till there's one team left.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's kind of what last week felt like.
A little bit.
All right. Let us move on to waiver wire targets here for week 25. Waiver wire targets will be focused on players that are rostered roughly 50% or less in Yahoo or Fantrax League, sorry. When considering players to target, we consider recent performance, player deployment, upcoming schedule, and more. So we are going to kick it off here with some forwards. First forward on the list here is Mr. Jonathan Drouin of the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, Avalanche. Boy. That's very fancy, Bruce.
Should check. I mean, there's some vodka in this water. I'm not sure. Oh, boy. He is rostered 26% in Yahoo, 54% in Fantrax. Colorado is playing 4 games this week. So, as you mentioned before, Drouin is making most of his time here on the top line. This past week, he had 5 points, 3 goals, assists in 4 games. He's averaging just over 23 minutes a night, which I thought was really interesting. I had to double check that number. I didn't think it was that high, but he's putting up 23 minutes a night time on ice, according to the chart that I got.
Well, he played 28 minutes in that game this past week, Bruce.
That's awesome. That's an incredible amount of minutes.
It is. He didn't have any actual points, which is unfortunate, but he's playing a pile of minutes, and now he's been productive. Like there's less to like about his game. So yeah, and it's crazy. He's still 26% rostered in Yahoo, right? Like
you look at his stat line. I thought I was looking at McKinnon's for a while, like 80% power play share. It's like,
yeah,
holy cow. Like it's clicking. So they're putting him out there.
Give him every opportunity to succeed. It's good.
Absolutely. He's gone in both our leagues, by the way. He's not available.
Well, I have him in ESPN.
He's gone. This guy disappeared off of our ESPN list and Yahoo list pretty fast too. I'm going to talk about Mr. Lafreniere.
Yeah, Alex Lafreniere, left winger eligible for the New York Rangers, 40% rostered in Yahoo, 66% in Fantrax. And as you'd mentioned, Bruce, they got 4 games. I like their schedule a lot this week. Pittsburgh, New Jersey, Detroit, and Montreal. So that looks pretty tasty. Playing with Artemi Panarin and Vincent Trocheck is also a real boost. And then he's on the second power play unit. But he's had himself a good week here. 7 points, 5 goals in 3 games, averaging just under 17 minutes a night. Lots to like there. It looks like Alex Lafreniere is finally rounding into form and maybe starting to meet expectations based on where he was drafted. Yeah. Just given who he plays for, when they're playing this week, it's a no-brainer. I think he's going to put up some real points this week. So if he's still out there, go grab him. If not, hopefully you're not playing against him.
And he's 22 only, so he's got...
There's time.
He's been in the league for, 4 years now?
Feels like he's been around for a long time, but yeah, it's...
He's only 22. He's still young, like really young.
But he was compared to a lot of elite-level players coming in, right? Like he got drafted first overall, and there's a lot of comparisons. And I mean, it's tough. The draft is so crazy sometimes, right? It's just... Yeah. But yeah, he's finally started to get there. And you're right, Bruce. He's going to get better, right? And he'll reach that 400-game threshold, 200-game, whatever it is, and he'll... he'll start clicking. And if he's going to continue to play with Panarin and Trocheck, like he's going to put up points.
His points are going to come. He can just stand in front of it. He can bounce it off his butt like they do Hyman.
Yeah, it's working well for Hyman. So
just stick it out and it'll bounce off of it and in. And there you go. It's a goal.
Well, you know what, Bruce? If if Zach Hyman and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has taught us anything over the last two seasons, it's that you should be patient, particularly with young players, right? Because you just never know.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's they've done good with LaFrenière to be patient with him and now putting him in a position to succeed. It's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Next guy on our list is Kyle Palmieri of the New York Islanders. So he's rostered 15% in Yahoo, 31% in Fantrax. Islanders got four games this week too. So checked his numbers. Palmieri didn't do a whole lot points-wise last week, just 1 point over the three games. However, this coming week here is going to be a great opportunity for the Islanders. They got four games on the slate, and they play Philly, Chicago, Columbus, and Nashville. So first three are definitely winnable. Nashville, they'll be a little bit in tough, but he's playing on the top line here with Brock Nelson and Bo Horvat. He's playing on power play one, so he's got the opportunity. He's got the deployment. If you got a spot in your lineup that you got to fill, be a good one to add. He's going to get lots of opportunity this week.
Yes, sir. I think we talked about Palmieri, was it last week or the week before? But just, again, it was one of those things I thought we should talk about him just because he has a nice schedule, like Philly, Chicago, Columbus. Those are games that the Islanders should put up some points against.
Definitely. And he's got great deployment, right? First line, first power play. That's what you're...
You want that deployment, right? And you look
that's
at...
you want.
You know, quality competition, all that kind of stuff. And widely available. So that's just, there's lots of things to like.
Absolutely. You want to talk about our next contestant? I think he was on here. Oh, he's been on here fast a little while too. He's kind of like Drouin.
You know what though, Bruce, we're kind of at that point in the season where it's like, there's a couple guys who you should be keying in on. And if you haven't, and it looks like we're at a strange spot in the season where, you know, maybe we're halfway through playoffs for some leagues, depending on when they started. And so, you know, guys just aren't being picked up as readily as they would be throughout the season. But Anthony Duclair, left wing eligible for the Tampa Bay Lightning, 39% rostered, still just 39% rostered in Yahoo.
Yeah.
52% in Fantrax, four games on the schedule. I do like their schedule as well this week. So at home versus Detroit, on the road in Toronto, and on the road in Montreal, and then on the road in Pittsburgh. But I mean, three of those four teams really should be juicy matchups for Duclair and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Playing with Kucherov and Braden Point, and then on the second power play unit. So he did have a slow week. He's cooled off a little bit, which I think was to be expected. He was running way too hot. But single point in his last three games, but four games on the slate. Like I said, three against non-playoff teams, and just power play two time, which he kind of got bumped off that spot. That's okay, though. I mean, still averaging 15 minutes a night and just under three shots on goal per game. I think it's a guy you still take a shot on with that schedule this week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I'm waiting for someone to drop him so I can pick him up.
Well, and like we said in the past, that was a guy that I really thought the Oilers should have taken a look at for the deadline. But
yeah, me too. I was one of those guys I thought he would too. All right. Next guy on the list here is Mr. Shane Pinto of the Ottawa Senators. He's rostered 22% in Yahoo, 59% in Fantrax. Ottawa's got four games here next week too. So Pinto's got 4 points here in his last four games, although those 4 points came in actually all one game, but still spread them out nicely. He's centering the top line with Tkachuk and Batherson. That line is combined for 11 points here over the last three games, so they're doing well as Ottawa. Ottawa's put together a nice little run here as well. So
it's garbage time, Bruce.
They got four games on schedule this week, and they are basically, except for Minnesota, Florida, New Jersey, and Washington. Those last two are probably going to be fighting for a playoff spot. So the way they've been playing, they might be able to play a little bit of a spoiler and make some people cry. That would be awesome.
You know what? The only matchup I'm really worried about is Florida, right? With the other three, I think mini New Jersey and Washington, those are like, Ottawa's been a bit of a pest here recently. So it wouldn't surprise me if they put up some points against those teams.
It's the Brady Bowl. You never know. There could be, it just could be fights unlimited. You know, you
there
just never
could
know
be a pile of Pims. Yeah, you're right.
It's the Brady Bowl.
The Brady Bowl.
Or the Kachuk Bowl, sorry. All right. Enough about him. Let's talk about the next guy. Oh, you're in the middle of drinking. You probably don't want to.
That's okay. I'm just working on some scotch here.
There you go.
JJ Paterka. We've talked about this guy plenty, Bruce, between the offseason and in season, but he's off to a good, a nice role here. So J.J. Paterka, right wing eligible for the Buffalo Sabres, rostered in 30% of Yahoo leagues, 59% in Fantrax. Four games on the schedule this week. He's playing on that top line with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch, and on power play one. What tipped me off to this one was I think Tyler picked him up early in the week. It might have been Tuesday or something. He picked up Paterka, and I went, oh, shoot. Okay, where's he playing? Looked right away. Yeah, sure enough. So he's made the most of that move. 2 points, both goals in his last three games. A whopping 16 shots on goal over that span. He's averaging over 20 minutes time on ice, 55% power play share on the top unit. He looks like a really, really nice option here for the upcoming week. And I wonder what a guy like Jeff Skinner, where he gets, you know, if he gets punted next season, Bruce, because they've got some guys here between Paterka and Quinn and Cousins and all these guys, these young players that, you know, are going to fill in that role. And Paterka shooting 16 shots on goal in three games. That's nice volume right there.
I had to make sure that I set the calendar right on that to make sure when I did the report to make sure that was the right dates. Cause like that's a lot of shots on goal for three games.
But yeah, it is.
You sure did.
Yeah. Well, and playing with Tage Thompson and Tuch, but the way Tage Thompson's playing right now too.
He's playing insane. That's part of the reason why I lost this week. Shandell.
So I mean, all those people that drafted Tage Thompson where they did, expecting he was going to have a 130-point season, probably pretty happy to see him, you know, getting things going offensively here late in the season.
Just in time for the fantasy playoffs.
Yep.
So Skinner's got 3 years left at $9 million. You think they try to dump his salary in the offseason?
Woof. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they did, if they can get the right deal. But Jeff Skinner does this, right? He has a really good season. He'll have like a 40-goal season, and then he'll do nothing. And then he has a 40-goal season, and he drops off the face of the earth. And it's just, it's kind of been his M.O.
If I remember correctly, I think he's not playing in the top six again.
No, he's down in the bottom six right now, Bruce.
He is third line with Peyton Krebs and Jordan Greenway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've bumped him right out of the top six now.
And I don't think that's a place where a guy like Jeff Skinner typically is going to succeed. So,
no, he's not a third or a fourth line guy.
No.
Ooh, excuse me. All right, let us move on to defensemen, and I picked them, so I apologize in advance. But holy crap, there was not a whole lot to choose from this week. Not a lot at all.
It's a tough point this season, Bruce.
Yeah. So first defenseman here, Justin Schultz. I was very surprised to see that he is rostered 1% in Yahoo. I thought it would be higher than that, but he is rostered 1% in Yahoo, 18% in Fantrax. Seattle's got three games this week, but all three games are on light days. So if you need a defense streamer, Schultz might be in line. He's still I went down the wrong pipe. Schultz could be a sneaky good pickup this week. Vince Dunn is still out with injury, so Schultz has some time on the top power play unit. As I mentioned earlier, Seattle plays all of their games on late days this week. He's had a couple of assists here in the last four games. He's averaging just under 19.5 minutes a night time on ice, and he's getting a decent amount of power play share here too, as well being on the top power play unit. And they've got an interest, well, like a manageable thing. They're on the road all week. They're doing their California tour, San Jose, LA, and Anaheim. So on a game area, you immediately might have to worry about is LA, but the other two should be manageable for the Kraken to sink some ducks and some sharks.
Well, and even the Kings at this point in the season, Bruce, haven't looked all that dangerous, right?
Crown the Kings while you're down there.
Yeah.
Not too bad. He's rostered 1%, so he's available basically everywhere. So if you need a late day streamer for defense, he'll be it.
Could do worse.
Next guy on the list there, Mr. Devin.
Yeah, Caden Gooley for the Montreal Canadiens, 7% rostered in Yahoo, 49% in Fantrax, four games on the upcoming schedule. And it's an ugly schedule, Bruce.
That's
Florida,
a murderer's row.
Yeah, right now this is not a good situation to be in if you're Montreal. Florida, Tampa, Toronto, and the Rangers. He is playing on the second pairing with Mike Matheson and on the second power play unit. And I think he just got suspended. Was it one game, Bruce? I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, he had to miss their last game here. He's back for.
Yeah, But he had himself a good week otherwise. 5 points, 1 goal, 4 assists in 3 games, averaging just over 23 minutes time on ice. Some power play time, like I had mentioned, 20% power play share. So not a huge amount of power play time if you're looking for that coverage. But he chipped in with 5 hits and 7 blocks. So a bit of category coverage that way. And I think if he's playing against those four teams, you're probably going to see quite a few blocks and probably a few more hits as he's spending more time in the defensive zone. So if you're looking for category coverage that way, I think there's some interest. And then two, offensively, he's been pretty good. So
the Tampa and Toronto games could be interesting just because of history. Although there's not many people on Montreal that remember the Tampa series in the finals, but maybe Gallagher, that's about it. Gallagher, who else is left from that team? There's not a lot left from that team.
Yeah.
Made that cup run during COVID there, but and they always play Toronto tough. I wouldn't be surprised if Montreal won that game.
Yep. I mean, anything can happen, right? You never know. Yeah. It's just but these are four tough matchups, right? So
absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Next guy on the list is also one of those that's been here before a couple of times. Mr. Torey Krug of the St. Louis Blues. He is currently rostered 24% in Yahoo, 56% in Fantrax. They have got, St. Louis has got 4 games here this week as well. Did I write this?
This is all you, Bruce. The D-men were all you. I take no credit for this.
I don't remember writing this. So
it
must have been.
It was a late night.
It was a late night. It was the middle of the afternoon. Torey Krug is back on the waiver wire picks again. St. Louis has a decent 4-game schedule this week. As I mentioned, Edmonton at home and then Nashville, San Jose, and Anaheim on the road. Blues are in a hunt for a playoff spot here, so Krug has 2 points in his last 3 games. He's just under 20 minutes a night time on ice, and he's back quarterbacking that top power play with a 70% share. So another guy to stream if you need a defenseman with some power play coverage. He seems to be good for a week here, a week there, and that. And they're in the playoff hunt, so we should be able to put up some points this week.
Yeah, I mean, I like those matchups against San Jose and Anaheim. And they seem to play Edmonton pretty well, too. I mean,
yes.
So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, if you're picking up Gooley for some category coverage outside of power play points, you know, Torey Krug might be the guy to grab if you need power play points.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, that does it for defensemen. We will tread now into goaltenders. And Devin, you want to talk about our goaltender of choice this evening?
Yeah, well, so the goaltenders is just kind of a schmozzle this week, to be honest. But we're recycling Jake Allen from last week for the New Jersey Devils, 38% rostered in Yahoo, 39% in Fantrax, 4 games on the schedule. And I do like this schedule. So they got Pittsburgh at home, the Rangers on the road, Ottawa on the road, and then Nashville at home. So there's some things to like, some things maybe not to like. But since joining the Devils, he's posted a 4-3-0 record with a 2.59 goals against, a .923 save percentage, and a 4.46 goals saved above average. Those are really steady numbers. I'd be fairly confident grabbing him as a streaming option at a critical time in the season here. And the thing to mention, too, is that, and Bruce, we talked about this off-air, but they've got 4 games, but 2 sets of back-to-backs. So the thing about Jake Allen this week is that you're going to want to grab Jake Allen, but also maybe handcuff him with a guy like Kaapo Kähkönen, depending on how many goals you have and how many you want to carry. But I think that there's some at least starts to be had there. And against teams like, you know, the Rangers and Nashville, you're going to get some volume, you know, some save volume there, too. So some good things to like. And then, Bruce, we've got a few other goaltenders here just to mention as some alternative options. So what do you think?
Yeah, so we've got Alex Nedeljkovic for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He seems to have taken over at least the starting role here at the end of the season. Tristan Jarry hasn't been doing that well, and Nedeljkovic's been getting the majority of the starts, so we'll keep an eye on that. That might be a nice streamer. Jonathan Quick is another one to keep an eye on, too, with Rangers playing 4 games this week. They may not want to maybe give Quick a couple of games here to give oh, my God, I forgot his name already.
Shesterkin,
that's his name.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy.
Give Shesterkin some rest here as they head down the stretch. The other one to keep an eye on here, too, is the Washington Capitals goalie, Charlie Lindgren. They are in a playoff spot with a -31 a dash 31
goal differential. The goal differential, it's ugly.
Ugly.
Yeah.
But they're in the playoff spot right now. So just absolutely amazing. But they seem to be winning here at the right time too. So he's another one to keep an eye on here for the upcoming week.
It's interesting, Bruce, that Washington's actually worked their way up to third in the Metropolitan right now. And
did they?
Yes, they did. And they've got two games in hand over the Flyers. So it's Tampa is the first wild card, Philly is the second wild card, and Philly's only 2 points up on Detroit, and Detroit has a game in hand. So at this point, honestly, I'm fully supporting Detroit taking over that second wild card spot. I'd really like to see that. I have no issue with that at all. And then
Flyers are fading fast.
Yeah, so I'm good at that. Like, see ya, Philly. Yeah. I have no interest. But give me Detroit and Washington in the playoffs. I'm good at that.
That would be nice. Most definitely. That is it for players for this week, unless you've got anybody you'd like to add.
No, nothing else on my end. Just good luck to everyone that's still playing in the fantasy hockey playoffs, and thanks for listening this season. We've got a couple more episodes left, Bruce, between...
I think we've got one left, because I took a look tonight, so the last week and a half of the season is compressed into week 26, so...
Okay.
So we'll have one more for sure, and if you want to do a wrap-up show or something like that, but one more for sure.
Yeah, so one more. I think we'll try and do like a playoff preview episode or something. Just something fun. Yeah. We'll talk about who our picks are throughout the playoffs and see how that goes.
We'll see if Ryan's done therapy once they join us.
Yeah, maybe we get Ryan on to talk about his thoughts, and it'd be great to have Ryan and Tyler on the same show again too, and maybe the four of us can do something like that. So
definitely.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that's it for the show this week. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter or X at FH Hacks and on Instagram at Fantasy Hockey Hacks. Don't forget to check out our live show, Hacks Hangout, every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Mountain Time on EdmontonSportsTalk.com and on YouTube.com/HeavyHockey. Have a good evening, everyone.
Take care.